and be not afraid of their fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, children, I was thinking about being afraid this morning. Have any of you ever been afraid? I mean, really, really scared. Probably even worse than, you know, the monster under your bed, that sort of thing when you're 3 years old. I mean, really afraid. Well, that's how today's saint was. For a while, at least, and we'll see how the Holy Ghost helped him not to be afraid. Today we have the Mass of Pentecost. Well, we've been having the Pentecost Mass all week, haven't we, with special Masses and the red vestments. But it's the same Mass as we had on Sunday, except for the Epistle and the Gospel. And in the Gospel, our Lord today sends out his disciples. There were 70 disciples. That's different from the 12 apostles. He sends the disciples out to sort of have them, well, in the army, they would call that soften up the territory. That is to say, they were to go first and try to make converts, and that would draw people to our Lord, and then after that, the apostles would come after Pentecost and make them proper Christians by baptizing them and everything. Why did the Holy Ghost come? I mean, really, why did he have to come? It was our Lord's plan, of course, but why did the Holy Ghost come on Pentecost? Wasn't the one main reason this? They were afraid. How afraid were they? Were you ever so afraid that you locked yourself in some place and you were afraid to even go out? That's how the apostles were. They locked themselves in the upper room where they had all been made bishops by our Lord, and where the first Mass had been said by our Lord at the Last Supper, and they wouldn't go out, and they were afraid of the Jews. But our Lord wanted them to go out and convert the whole world. So they were sort of at a standoff, sort of a Mexican standoff. You know what a Mexican standoff is? That is, when you're driving in Mexico or being driven someplace, and you get to a corner, nobody wants to stop. And whoever finally does stop, he is the one who loses, and the other person who keeps on going, he is the one who's not afraid. But that's a kind of a fear that's a good thing to have, because if you're driving, you should be afraid of hitting somebody else with your car, except sometimes in Mexico, I think, they're not. Well, who is going to change here? Our Lord is God. He can do all things. It's the apostles that were going to be changed, and the disciples, too, because they had that same spirit of fear. Our Lord was going to change them. How was he going to do that? By sending his own spirit, who is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Holy Ghost, so they wouldn't be, the technical word for it is cowards anymore, cowering in the corner of their locked upper room, the cenacle. Instead, they would go forth into the whole world and making disciples, baptize them. That's what the Holy Ghost did. That's why there was a noise, the wind, the tongues of fire over each of them, and that's why they started preaching so bravely and energetically just as soon as the Holy Ghost left, because he had gone into their souls. Now, in today's saint of the day, who's the patron saint of England, and his name is Saint Augustine of Canterbury. Only he wasn't English, he was actually Italian, or maybe a Sicilian, they say. Sicily is an isle off the coast of Italy. In today's saint, we have an example of the same thing going on hundreds of years later. The same thing. Because that's how it always is. There are some new group of pagans someplace, and they've got to get converted, and the Holy Ghost gets involved. And this is how it happened. Saint Gregory the Great was about the year 600 AD, more or less. Saint Gregory the Great was the Pope. That means he was the bishop in Rome, and the successor of Saint Peter. And there were some slaves one day in the marketplace, because back then, there were lots of slaves and slave traders, and you had to kind of be careful. That wouldn't be another thing to be afraid of if you were liable to be fearful, because you didn't want to get captured by some slavers and made into a slave. Well, these were barbarians or Saxons from the north, from what we call today England, and they were slaves, and he got talking to them, and they were called Angli. And he said, I'm going to make you, instead of being Angles, I'm going to make you into angels. See how those two words are almost the same? St. Gregory liked to do a little play on words sometimes. And how was he going to make them into angels? He would send them missionaries to teach them and baptize them. So, as soon as he could, it was a few years later when he became the Pope and he had the authority to do that, he put the second man in charge of his monastery. They were all monks back then. His name was Augustine. And he said, Father Augustine, one day, I want you to lead a group of about 30 monks, and we'll choose them together, and they're going to be missionaries way up north in England. And because he was a monk, he was especially obedient, so he said, yes, Holy Father, and they started to get things organized, what they would need for the trip and all of the rest of it. And then they left, and they walked down to the sea, which wasn't that far, and they got on a boat, which took them to France, and then they started going through France. And back then, there weren't any hotels or motels, and so if you were going to visit, we were going to travel, where would you spend the night and get something to eat? Because they didn't have restaurants either. Well, you'd go to a monastery, and other monks of the same order would take you in and give you something to eat, and you could stay there for a while and rest up, and your horses too, because you had to think of the horses. Well, that's what they did, and as they got talking, people would ask them, and the monks would say, well, brother, now where are you? Where did you say you're going? And they would say, the Holy Father has sent us to go to England to convert the Angles and the Saxons. And they would make a face, and they would say, oh, no, you're going to go there? We've heard terrible stories about them. They're barbarians. They'll just as soon chop off your head as look at you. I wouldn't go there if I were you. You'd better go back and tell the Pope that he should rethink the project. Well, enough of them started saying those things, and they started listening to them, always a mistake, that pretty soon all of the monks grew discontent, and they had sort of a mini rebellion. And they said, see here, Father Augustine, we don't want to go and have our heads chopped off by the barbarian Angles and Saxons in England. We'd rather go someplace else. So couldn't you go to see the Pope and get him to send us someplace else instead, or let us come back home? It's not a very good idea. Everybody says so. And if everybody says something, as you well know, children, well, then it couldn't be a good idea, could it? That's tongue-in-cheek. Well, St. Augustine did. He went back to see the Pope, and the Pope was very disappointed in him. Have you ever done something bad, children? And your mother or father or teacher would say to you, I'm very disappointed in you. I didn't think you would do this. Well, that's what St. Gregory said to St. Augustine. And he gave him a good talking to, and he told him to keep a stiff upper lip, because that's a good English way of doing things, and have a little backbone, and just go back and finish the job, and do what he was told. And to St. Augustine's credit, he did. He didn't listen to all the troublemakers who were afraid. He listened to the Holy Father, the Pope, who had the Holy Ghost speaking in his ear. And they went all the way to England, and when they got there, they found out it wasn't so bad after all. That as a matter of fact, although the King of Kent was a pagan, his wife, Queen Bertha, was a French Christian princess, and she even had a bishop with her who used to say Mass for her, called her chaplain. And the king certainly wasn't going to kill anybody. And eventually, in just a few months' time, why, he converted and he got baptized. And then following his good example, all of the warriors of the king, they got baptized too. And pretty soon they started building churches and having feast days and consecrating bishops and doing wonderful things to convert the people. Now, that wouldn't have happened, would it? None of that if they had listened to the spirit of fear, children. Sometimes somebody else gives you the spirit of fear, and sometimes it's the devil who likes to whisper in your ear, and he'll say, oh no, you can't do that. That will never work. What, are you crazy? That's the devil. Don't ever listen to the devil, children. listen to your parents, your teachers, and your priests. You can do it. Of course you can. We don't follow everybody in the world. We don't even follow most people. We follow our Lord. St. Augustine's a wonderful example of why we shouldn't listen to people and why we shouldn't give in and why we should just soldier on and do our job, and you'll see everything will be okay in the end. That's the story of St. Augustine, and thanks to him, he converted the whole of the English people. If you get started thinking and acting that way now, children, then you'll be a true disciple of God the Holy Ghost. And who knows what good you'll be able to do. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.